Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Muslim Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Naseem. Today, I have my guest from the last podcast, Hafsa. Welcome, Hafsa. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi. Nice talking to you, too. I was really holding back the urge to sing, you know, Slim Shady's Shady's Back. Back again.
So I guess we've had quite a lot of people touching on our first podcast. So in the spirit of keeping it random, we are going to head off on our little journey tonight. So we were talking earlier and we decided that we wanted to talk about resources for new Muslims and things that we wish we had when we reverted. Do you want to go first or do you want me to start?
Yeah, sure. So basically, I think, I don't know if this is every revert's experience.
I think they love us just the way we are. We're hilarious.
Oh, this is embarrassing. So I was like, okay, I'm interested in Islam. I've been watching like hijab tutorials because I was like, it's gorgeous. I want to be part of that. But also I need to know more about the history of Islam, pre-Islamic Arabia, everything, and what it's like to be in a Muslim family. I still ask people about that all the time. I'm like, what's Ramadan like in a Muslim family?
Oh
like,
my gosh, could you imagine? Oh my heavens. I can't even comprehend it. Like, oh, that would be so amazing. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's okay. And so I basically started, I don't know about you, we'll go back and forth on this.
Yeah,
but I started watching like lectures on YouTube, and we talked about this just a few minutes ago, was Mufti Menk.
Yeah.
This man is so pure.
Alhamdulillah, for your Mufti Menk.
Mashallah, he's so perfect. I mean, he's not perfect by any means, but like he's like the perfect person to teach you about the beauty of Islam and like just how it's so loved.
And he puts the most, like, he'll just interject like these like funny comments or little stories to make it relatable. And like Mufti Menk was really prevalent in the beginning of my journey. I saw my first of him, like first video of him, and I just fell in love with the way he spoke. Like it just flowed from the heart. Mm-hmm. And like he was just so pure, and I was like, that is how I want to be. And I need to listen to this man. So like for me, a lot of the beginning of mine was just random lectures or random khutbas from Mufti Menk. And you know, a few of the other sheikhs, they have, controversy surrounding them, but I don't think that affects the way they teach. Like Numan Ali Khan, I've been doing Bayana TV program as of late to learn how to read Arabic and speak Arabic, and like trying to learn Surah Ar-Rahman. I can't even say it. I'm just Ar-Rahman. Sorry. There we go. Like, it's so hard for me to convert from English to Arabic in my like speech. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in Ohio. You know, we don't have.
Well, you know what, you're doing it. You're doing it now. The effort is what counts.
But I've like for teaching, like actual teaching, I really think they need to check out Numan Ali Khan. He is really, really good and relatable, and like so Bayana TV for me. I wish I had that 3 years ago, for real. What about you?
Yeah, he was also one of the first ones that I was listening to. And I think that both Mufti Menk and Numan Ali Khan have, they have their own podcasts on Muslim Central, on like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, that kind of thing. And so I would watch their lectures, listen to them. I think that Numan has this amazing way of storytelling that makes it so vivid.
Yeah.
There has been controversy surrounding him, but he not that I'm you know, I don't know how to say it. It doesn't negate the fact that
right.
The fact that he's a good storyteller and yeah, exactly. a good teacher doesn't negate the fact that there is controversy.
Right.
However, wow. I do like his storytelling. I like how he imparts, I suppose, wisdom through his stories.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like Humza Yousaf, but
I did why. Too.
I don't like how he speaks.
My husband loves him. He's like, Humza Yousaf, you got to check him out. And I'm like, okay. And then I blame it on ADHD that I don't listen to
it. It's okay. I think it's a preference thing because some people will be like, oh, I really don't like this scholar. And like, Humza Yousaf,
he studied for years and years and years and years. And he is very knowledgeable, but he's just not right for me, you know, in my learning style. Mm-hmm. But I also like Omar Suleiman. He's so, like, when he speaks so eloquently and so softly and so, like, gently. You know what I mean? Like, I love how gently he gives it to you.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about it earlier before we started recording that, you know, I don't even know what the guy's name is, the one in Australia, but
he's a new Muslim.
Like, we said this talking to each other, a new Muslim walking into the masjid and listening to him.
I was like, I would turn on my heel. I don't want you to yell the khutbah at me. I want you to gently.
You know, I came from Lutheran, I came from being a Lutheran. And, you know, that was all they spoke about was like, we're going to hell. We're going to hell. We're going to
hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah. And like, why do they, why, you know, don't scare me. I don't want to be scared.
Did you know?
I mean, I know I need to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I cannot, you know, grow as a person when you're yelling at me.
Mm-hmm. I know. Did you? Okay. So this is just a random fact about like being scared into faith, basically. But did you know that like in, I think it's the Middle Ages, or the early Middle Ages, I'm not entirely sure, where the Catholic Church actually invented gargoyles as a physical representation of hell to scare people into going to church. What? That doesn't seem like a loving religion if you need to be scared into something.
No, you should. And you know what? There was another thing about that. That's so odd that you say that, because like for me, you know, growing up in that religion, so many questions. And one of the questions that always was on my mind was, why are you giving me a wafer and telling me it's the body of a man and telling me to eat it? And why are you giving me a glass of wine? Not a glass, but like a shot of wine. And I'm 14. Okay. I'm 14 years old and you give me wine. Okay. And telling me to drink this, that it's the blood of this man who walked the earth thousands of years ago. I don't understand how that is a good thing to do. And it scares me. And I'm not going to be in a religion that I'm scared. You know what I mean? No. I know about, you know, we have to cross the bridge of Sirat. We, you know, the hellfire flame is so hot, it burns black. You know what I mean? Like, I know. And if you aren't knowledgeable about, you know, the hellfire, learn about it, you know, because it's a good motivator to go to Jannah, you know, because like, I do not want to spend my eternity eating from the tree of Zakum. You know, like, I'm good. I want to do better and I want to be better. And, you know, Islam, it helps me like do that, you know. But when you are looking for resources and people to get your information from, you have to be mindful of that. And there's a lot of people, you know, out here. And then we have our TikTok imams also. So, you know, information is not always correct. So you always have to make sure that you're doing your homework and, you know, obtaining the right knowledge. you said that you had also read a book that I had read, and I think it is a great resource for new Muslim women. It's very flowing in the way it's written, and it actually has two authors. It's called, I believe it's called The New Muslim's Field Guide.
The authors are Teresa Corbin and Kayla Umdayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically it is what it says. It is a field guide.
It is. And that is what I think every Muslim needs. Every new Muslim reader, I think everyone needs that, because that breaks down how to do wudu. It breaks down how to do your prayers. It tells you more resources to look into. It talks about, like, you know, how we carry ourselves as Muslims every day. It's been a while since I've read those 50 pages.
Right. It's, it also has a letter in it. So if you can't verbally communicate with your family when you are ready to, you know, quote unquote, come out as a Muslim, for lack of better words, then it has this letter that you just have to fill in things that you would like to really point out. But it has kind of this letter that's like, this is the, you know, a choice that I've made. I'd like to talk about it when you're ready. Please ask any questions. I can give you resources. It just kind of is, you know, kind of lays it all out for your family when you're ready to come out to them, instead of, you know, them walking in on you praying or something.
Right.
And you being like, oh, it's just, you know, yoga under a sheet.
Like getting caught with no clothes on. You're like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Whoops. Well, like, oh, it's just really chilly outside today. No. Yeah, it just kind of lays that out. And I think I like how it's written.
I think another thing that new Muslims need, they need an app that helps them with their prayer times. And then also, yes, like, I think there was some controversy behind Muslim Pro. So I used to have that at one point in time, but I didn't like that one so much. I had like four different prayer apps on my phone.
I have so many, to be honest. So I use Adhan Pro.
Ooh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's got a little blue icon, but it gives you like a hadith of the day, picture of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I like it. I was at one point paying for Muslim Pro because I wanted like the premium edition.
Right.
But then that, you know, whole information being sold to the US government by the app developers came out, and I was like, well, I don't want that happening.
Right.
Not that I have anything to hide, but still, I like privacy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
yeah. And so I saw a recommendation for this one, and I was like, great, that works. But which one do you use?
I use Muslim Assistant.
Okay.
Nice. So it gives you, like, you know, all the prayer times for the day, and then it has the direction of the Qibla. It's got dhikr, and then you can open Quran and read it. There's hadith of the day. There's like little pictures on it. I just opened it and now I can't turn it off. It's got an ad because I'm too cheap to pay for the premium version. Actually, I paid for the premium version two times for like the lifetime, but two separate times I paid for it. And for some reason, I still only have it didn't take. I don't know why.
Did it come out of your account?
Yeah, I took it out of my account. And
Two times,
yeah.
Okay, that's something you need to contact Apple about. Or contact your bank and just say it's fraud.
Yeah, I mean, but so, you know, maybe I wasn't ever meant to have the premium version with no ads. But that's what I use. And I mean, it works. It's all I need. Yeah. You know, it's just basic. I'm just a basic white girl from Ohio. It's a Muslim, so
no, it's okay. I think the apps have really come a long way, definitely.
I love them. Like, it helps so much to have that right at your fingertips.
Yeah, I have two different Quran apps. One is eQuran, and then one is Quran Teacher. So that it helps you to like learn. But then
I'm so anxious when I mean, I know I'm talking to you and I know we have great chemistry, but I just get so anxious and I don't know why I do that, but I was just making some notes because I have a couple other podcasts coming up and I didn't write them down and I don't want to forget about them. But anyways, back to what we were talking about. I use Muslim Pro Quran English, and in Quran English, it has the Arabic writing, and then it also has the transliteration, and it also has the translation. So it has the Arabic writing, and if you cannot read Arabic, it has the Arabic to where you can read it in English. So it says, like, you know, is, you know, transliteration, and then there's the English translation, and then there's also within that app is a prayer times, and then you can also listen to Quran being read, being recited by like 6 or 7 different reciters. And then I have Bayana TV, and then for Arabic, for like conversational Arabic, I use Pimsleur, Simon and Schuster. It's like an app like Rosetta Stone. It's more along the lines of like speaking instead of reading and learning how to like write Arabic. So those are the ones, the apps that I use. I think that, you know, in the day of technology, when we are all on our phones a lot of the time, I think that having a good couple apps on your phone that you can just like shoot in and out, if you're as ADD as me, then you can just like pop onto this app, you know, pick up where you left off in reading the Quran or listening or whatever. You can pop over to your other app, pick up on your lesson in the middle of it or whatever. So, you know, I think it's a good thing to have, you know, a good group of like apps on your phone that you can use for resources, because with the pandemic and everything still not all the way back to normal, you know, we need to have our information close. So khutbas on YouTube are good. You said Muslim Central is a website that
I think it's a website, it's a podcast.
Oh, it's a podcast.
Available literally everywhere you get podcasts.
I do want to say this for new Muslims who are looking for information: be careful of getting things off of Facebook and other like Snapchat or Instagram. Those are great resources if they're coming from a credible source or somebody, you know what I mean? But you have to be very careful of where you receive your information to preserve its authenticity. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's how things get misinterpreted and people develop misconceptions, because people don't practice Islam the way it's supposed to be practiced, you know? They only
not that everyone is out to get you.
No, not everybody is out to get you.
But it's just like, it's good to protect yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
From people who would like to take advantage.
I mean, you have those guys who have said they will, like, you're on your Muslim dating app or whatever.
Not anymore, thankfully.
Alhamdulillah. You know, and they'll just be like, oh, well, you know, they say this, this, or this. And, you know, they're doing it because they want a little more time talking to you, or they want to see your face if you're a niqabi, or they want, you know what I mean? It's just like, you just have to be careful.
Like, oh, well, like, oh, well, it's
let me tell you, okay?
Yeah, they're like, it's halal for me to see your hair. The first look is halal. I'm like, that's not at all what that means.
That's not at all. But okay.
next. Anyway,
I think it's important also for new Muslims to be creative and express themselves. I've recently begun speaking with a few sisters who write poetry. And are creative writers. They have a women's empowerment movement called Woke Woman. So, you know, like you said, not everybody is out to get you. However, there are some fantastic supports out there. I also personally have in the past when I meet a new revert, I will just send them a box full of stuff, like a Quran and a prayer rug and a prayer dress, hijabs, literally everything that they need to be able to pray and start their journey into the fold of Islam. So it's very small what I do. However, I wanted to point this out. I cannot remember this lady's name. She is from Australia. She's a revert of, like, I think she's a revert. I maybe might not be a revert. I didn't get to read the story because it's in Arabic, but it's just pieced together for me by my husband. She was a support for new Muslims in Australia. And for 40 years, she did what I do, which is basically like just give Muslims, like give them a hijab. You know what I mean? A new Muslim, give them a hijab, let them try it on and help, you know, that'll help you, you know, for your akhirah. So every time they wear that hijab or that prayer rug or whatever, you know, it helps us also. And it feels good. It feels good to be able to like give somebody a gift like that they can use, like a prayer rug. Like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. So this lady, she did this for 40 years. She just did it in Australia. Every time she met a new Muslim, she would like try to guide him and try to support him and give him everything that they needed to be there to help him learn. And she won an international award for that, for helping new Muslims. And I aspire to be like this lady that I have no idea what her name is, but it's something that I've already been doing here and there. And it's an amazing feeling, even though, like I've already said, I've only been a Muslim for about 3 years now. So it makes me feel good to be able to help others where I didn't have help. And I think with that, I'm going to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us on the Muslim Experience Podcast. Have a great night. Salam.